Trump playing coy with the KKK when you have this kind of atmosphere being created, we have to be very firm and strong in rejecting it.
Her whole life has been a big, fat, beautiful lie. It's been a terrible, terrible lie. Everything about her is a lie.
A lot of whining. I'm sure some cursing. And some late-night fever tweeting. All the characteristics I would note we would want of a commander-in-chief.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, April 12th, 2016, 5:10 a.m. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day as we move closer to midweek. The week is going by pretty fast. Let's keep a positive attitude about it. At least the markets are cooperating with us today, keeping us in a good mood. World markets generally in the positive territory this morning. Most of the indices around the world are in the green. Dow futures are pointing toward a tepid open later on Wall Street. The global intel from the WGN market desk, lots to talk about this morning. The biggest is the settlement yesterday with Goldman Sachs, the Justice Department announcing a $5 billion settlement with the banking giant over the 2008 housing bubble burst and those mortgages. Eric Schneiderman is the New York Attorney General.
This settlement will help thousands of families with principal forgiveness get to obtain write-downs of their mortgage debt so they can avoid foreclosure and stay in their homes. It will help to finance multifamily affordable housing projects. It will fund land banks and local code enforcement efforts, and is really another major step in the fight for justice for the families and communities that were devastated when a combination of reckless deregulation and abusive practices by a relatively small number of financial firms brought the American economy to its knees in 2008.
Illinois also a part of the settlement. The agreement is the latest multi-billion dollar settlement reached with a major bank. Other banks that's already have settled: Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan, Chase and Company. Goldman had previously disclosed the settlement in January, but the feds laid out additional allegation in a statement of facts. Yesterday, the intel on the markets, we saw stocks move into the red. In the afternoon, investors braced for the start of what is expected to be gloomy earnings season. A late-day slide put pressure on stocks, even as oil prices hit a four-month high. We also heard from Tesla Motors. They're recalling about 2,700 cars, actually about 253,000 pre-orders that's received for its new models, announcing that at the same time. This has all caused some financial advisors and analysts to say, whoa, including Steve Dudash of IHT. He says you should, if you have Tesla stock, sell it.
They cannot produce that number of cars. There's no way they can produce the cars at the price that they're claiming.
Canadian Pacific also yesterday abandoned its bid to buy Norfolk Southern, sending shares of Canada's second largest railroad operator higher. The opposite case with Britain's Daily Mail, the newspaper owner in talks with potential partners for Yahoo's. Nothing new to develop on that this morning. Also, the Justice Department yesterday saying it is investigating some oil producers for possibly manipulating prices. In Indiana, the Indiana University's Research and Technology Corporation is busy developing the next generation of health technology, and they are in Chicago meeting with venture capitalists and others to try to find funding and sell some of these items. It is front and center on the Opening Bell this morning. We'd like to welcome Jennifer Feinfield of the Indiana University's Research and Technology Corporation. Good morning, Jennifer. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Chicago. I'm also interested in talking about health tech because this is a growing field, and it is one that a lot of people are paying attention to because of the number of baby boomers who are retiring every day. And we're going to have many people think we're going to have a healthcare crisis eventually in the future when there is a lack of services for folks. And so technology is going to play a big part in this. How is Indiana University helping?
Yeah, so Indiana University is, we have a really great science and research program, as well as a really good school of medicine that's cranking out a lot of great research, therapeutics, medical devices, and diagnostics. So we're helping by, you know, helping to cover just new and interesting innovations and trying to get those onto the marketplace, get those into the hands of the people that and the companies that can take it forward and get it to those baby boomers. And especially as current patents and our current products are going off patent in the future. So we're working to cover that upcoming gap as well.
Well, I'd like to get into the nitty-gritty of this coming up and talk maybe specifically about some of the technologies. We'll do that in our next segment as our conversation continues. Again, Jenny Feinfield of the Indiana University with us this morning.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, earnings season has kicked off and kicked the stock market to the curb. The Dow Jones lost 21 points yesterday. The S&P 500 fell 5. The Nasdaq was off by 17 points. Much of the pain was the result of losses at energy companies. Unions representing more than 36,000 Verizon landline phone and cable workers are threatening a strike starting tomorrow if the company doesn't agree to a new contract. The unions say Verizon wants to freeze pensions, make layoffs easier, and rely more on contract workers. Fiat Chrysler is cutting the price of its Dodge Dart by more than $1,000 as it tries to boost sales of the struggling compact car. The automaker is repositioning the Dart lineup to better align production and dealer inventory with consumer demand. And Ticketmaster will soon be selling tickets directly on Facebook. Venues and artists say that social media provide an important platform to connect with fans. Facebook will collect a standard affiliate fee. Tickets still will have to be claimed at the Ticketmaster website. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 520. Welcome back to the program. Our conversation this morning with Jenny Feinfield of Indiana University Research and Technology Corporation. The university there is putting together health tech, and they're in Chicago trying to raise some venture capital, get some of these items to the market. Jenny, before we went to the break, we were talking about baby boomers. 10,000 per day are going to be retiring from now through at least 2030, 73 million Americans. And the biggest problem that a lot of them are going to face with health-related issues is who's going to take care of them, number one, and also dementia-related issues. Is health tech focusing on those issues?
Yeah, and many other issues as well. You know, as the population ages, many different diseases can arise, as well as, So we have, a lot of medical devices as well as therapeutics to help the baby boomers through these diseases that they possibly face later on in life.
Well, let's go through some of the things that Indiana specifically is developing. Therapeutic treatment for common blinding eye disease.
Yes. So for that one, we have a researcher with the Department of Ophthalmology, Dr. Tim Corson, and he has found a new compound a therapeutic that can treat wet age-related macular degeneration, and it works via a different pathway than what is already on the market. So this is a good opportunity to offer patients who don't respond to current therapies a different option.
There's also a focus on something called telehealth, a telehealth platform. And one of the things that Indiana is putting together is something that treats patients suffering from neurological disorders via this telehealth platform.
Yeah, this is a really interesting technology that was developed by Dr. Don Newman of the School of Medicine at Indiana University. And this is a great software as a therapy. The product is called Emotion Builder, and it uses a structured therapy program to help patients suffering from an emotional deficiency. So possibly those patients that have suffered a traumatic brain injury or even post-traumatic stress disorder. And this program works to help patients work through emotional issues that they're facing.
Also, gene therapy is big in the news these days, maybe a holy grail in some instances for people with disease. There's something that Indiana University is working on to cure a rare blood-related disorder.
Yes. So Remedian is this gene therapy company, and they're currently working on Fanconi anemia and other rare blood diseases using gene therapy and a lentiviral vector.
How big is, are there any robotics involved with some of the stuff you guys are developing? I saw something recently that's sort of like one of these little robot machines that people will have in their homes that will go from, you know, their room to room, and they'll be able to connect immediately with a doctor or a health professional. How big is robotics in your school there?
We do have a few robotic technologies, not really related to health tech, but we do have a lot of applications, like for your phone and also for electronic medical records to help with doctors get access to medical records faster and more secure. So we do have a lot of the health tech going on. Just, you know, robots are not something that we see a lot of at Indiana University.
Talk to us a little bit about some of these phone apps that you're talking about. Is are they connecting people, patients, with doctors remotely?
Yes, we have that as an option, as well as just helping doctors themselves, as well as doctors being able to help with diagnoses. So we have an app for suicide, actually. So a caregiver or a care provider can give the app to a patient and have them take this questionnaire, and the doctor can then determine what risk this patient is, who might be suffering from maybe bipolar disorder. He can determine what risk they are for suicide.
There's two trains of thoughts where all of this technology is concerned. One of them is there's no way that we're going to have enough health professionals to deal with all of the baby boomers who are retiring, who will eventually need health care. What was it? I said 73 million people by 2030. But then there are also people who say, well, this is taking that personal element out of health care that many of these older people are going to need and will require so they don't become reclusive. Is it a double-edged sword?
I don't think so. I think we are working on some great innovations to help just to make the process smoother for everyone involved.
How hard is it for you? I know you're in Chicago, these groups of researchers and technologists to try to get these products on market. How difficult is that process?
You know, what I love about this event that was hosted at Matter is we are bringing investors and industry partners from the coast. You know, a lot of times when you think about moving these technologies to the market, you think of East Coast and West Coast, and the Midwest is really an untapped resource. And so what Matter has done is brought the key leaders to one location to help move these forward and bring recognition to the great research that's being done in the Midwest at all of the Midwest universities, including Indiana University.
Well, best of luck to everyone at Indiana University, and keep up the good work. If you'd like to follow Matter Chicago and learn more about them, by the way, it's at Matter Chicago on Twitter, and you can follow them at matterchicago.com. It's a community of entrepreneurs and innovators, industry leaders working together to get all of these technology products on the market. Good luck to you. Have a good time in Chicago.
Great. Thank you.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:38. Welcome back to the program. We've all probably seen one of those news conferences where some business leader or corporate leader or CEO is before the cameras, stuttering, looking in the wrong direction, maybe having flop sweat. It is very important to put your best foot forward, your best face forward, and that's why media trainers exist. We're going to talk with one of them this morning. Catherine Janicek is with us on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good, doing well. It's nice to talk to you again. Catherine and I used to work together in a previous life at another station, and it's good to speak with you and have this conversation.
Yeah, it's great to hear you on WGN. I like your show.
Yeah, and well, you're doing great work as well. You're helping prevent all of those things that I just talked about to a certain extent. How bad is this problem? I mean, in terms of, if you had to put it in the business concept, people sometimes have no clue what they're doing, right?
Yeah, and you know what? It's not funny, but it's interesting because people don't usually budget for this. It's something where people don't know it's going to be bad until they have to do it, until they have to get in front of a camera. And usually by then, it's too late for media training. You know, you've already made that mistake. So I try to explain to companies that it's important to have this media training before you have to answer a question, before, you know, something's stolen out of a locker room at your gym, or before, you know, there's something that is, you know, and it doesn't need to be catastrophic. It doesn't need to be a BP oil spill or something, but it could be something minor that when the, you know, when a television station calls or a newspaper, you need to know how to answer it and how to answer it quickly too.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's just timing.
And sometimes it really surprises me because some of these, and Fortune 500 companies too, have these media relations departments who you would think that would be their job, is to sit the CEO down and say, okay, Madam CEO, here's how you answer this question. Let's do a fake interview. Let's prepare yourself. I can't tell you how many times I've been doing a live interview with someone in that position, and they say, can we start again? No, we're live.
Right, right. And, you know, for me, it's been helpful because I've been in television for 20 years. So I've been an executive producer. I've been a producer. I've been a writer. I've been coaching talent for so long. So I know what it's like. I know how it should feel when you're on air. So I'm able to translate that for small business owners, for CEOs. And I've also been a spokesperson. Like, I've been on that other side. Mm-hmm. I was a spokesperson for the sheriff's office in Minneapolis when the 35W bridge collapsed. So I was there when, you know, I had to coach law enforcement and tell them that, like you're saying, this is live, this is taped, you can say, you know, you can repeat yourself here. It's good to have somebody who's been on the other side to tell you, you know, how to control your message. It's really important. And I'm not saying that it's always a spin factor, but, you know, learning how to stay on message so you get the content that you really want out there delivered.
You gave me a little chill when you mentioned that bridge. I used to drive over that bridge every day to work when I worked at KSTP in Minneapolis. So that's good. Scary story, but you're right. And, you know, what surprises me is that this doesn't exist. And when you go on camera or you go on the radio and you flop, people, that could drive your stock down. That's the worst that can happen. And, you know, the least that can happen is people won't buy your product.
Right. And it's not even that, like we talk about crisis and some owner or CEO could be listening to this right now and going, you know, I tend to not have a crisis, but we're talking about basic things. Like, a lot of people will open up a Facebook page or mm-hmm. they start Twitter, but they don't have an expert sitting there and making sure that they have a customer service representative listening and answering back. And that can turn into a crisis. What if there's, you know, a return that needs to be made, or there was a problem with a product, or the pizza was cold and they, you know, and they tweet the company, but no one answers? That can then become a crisis because you've lost that customer, and that customer can talk to their whole neighborhood. So even those little things, like, we don't think about. I know a lot of companies, they go, oh, yeah, I've got social media, but they don't treat it as like opening a business and having, like, who's going to work that business now? Who's going to sit there and be your customer service, your representative on Facebook? Because you can't just sit there and let, you know, people email you and then not answer. So those little things can then become a crisis because it's your reputation. All that online brand, that's your reputation. So we're not talking about just like big things, like I said, an oil spill or something or a bridge collapse. But a little thing like that we don't think about as a company can become a crisis.
I'm laughing to myself because the thing that comes into my mind when I think about this the most is the old Saturday Night Live, and here I'll date myself, but remember Harry Shearer was Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes, and he used to interview Billy Crystal, who was Christopher Guest, and the guy always used to be sweating above the brow and smoking the cigarette. No,
right.
It's me, it's you. It may not, I guess the question I'm asking is, sometimes the CEO might not be the best person to put in front of a camera, and you have to tell them that, don't you?
Correct. And especially when sometimes it's a very female-based product, you know, and I'll ask, or if it's a, I've trained a lot of people who are in healthcare, and it's like, oh, if you're going for women, like, do you have like a VP, or do you have somebody who is a woman who can talk to women about this product? Because you're right, the CEO is a rock star. He's so smart. He knows his contact in and out. content in and out, but he might not be the appropriate face of the company for a certain story. So a smart CEO, a smart founder knows that he might not be the perfect person to put on TV. Maybe a quote in a magazine, but not, he's not always going to be the spokesperson. You're absolutely right. And if he wants to be, good training. And I mean, I'm not talking about hours and hours and hours, but just knowing basic things like, you know, how to control your message, how to breathe, how to slow down, how to really, you know, deliver. And then maybe sometimes, you know, the appropriate colors to wear on TV. A lot of people don't even think about that. I'll always ask, like, what are you wearing? And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get into people's business that much, but that's so important. It's how you look and how you put your hands on a desk or how you put your shoulders. I mean, that's all controlling your content. That is your content too.
Yeah.
So people don't think about that part.
And imagining the lighting situation and the sometimes how hot it is with the lighting and whether or not you have a sweating problem. We're having a conversation this morning with Catherine Janicek, a media trainer in Chicago, on the business of media. You can follow her at Catherine Janicek, KatherineJanicek.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 5:49 on the markets this morning. Dow futures pointing toward a tepid open on Wall Street later this morning, up about 36 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures higher as well. For the latest on commodities, let's check in with Orion Samuelson. Good morning, Orion.
Steve, good morning. As we look back at the start of the trading week, wheat hit a five-week low because of rains over the weekend in winter wheat country. Wheat futures dropped 3% to a five-week low yesterday. In addition to good weekend rains, the forecast says there'll be more of the same again next weekend. So as a result, wheat futures at the Chicago Board of Trade and the May contract ended the day down 12.5 cents. May corn tended to follow suit, dropping a nickel for the day at 3.56¾. On the other hand, soybeans had a pretty good day in the market, with the nearby May soybean contract gaining 11.5 cents to end the day at 9.28¼. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
We're back on The Opening Bell now with Catherine Janicek, a media trainer from Chicago. We're talking about why it's important to put your best foot and best face forward. Catherine, this is the segment from Saturday Night Live that I was talking about earlier.
Working for pennies, making defective novelty items which at best don't work and don't provide.
Puffing on a cigarette now.
Family fun.
Sweating.
And at worst, creating serious injury.
So what are you saying?
Saying that your boss, Mr. Lee, is in effect the Mr. Big of the pirate novelty business.
No,
so you kind of get it there. You can't put just anybody before camera. What are your tips for people, first of all, this morning, if they're listening, thinking about this? What should be their first steps?
You got to record yourself. You have to look and see really with a critical eye what you look like on camera. Some people jump up in front of a group of investors or in front of their annual report, you know, in front of their company once a year, and they get up and they do a slideshow and they never really see what they look like on camera. And this doesn't mean you have to get out some fancy DSLR camera or whatever. You could just, you know, with your iPhone, get your kid to, you know, shoot you or your wife to put you on or your husband. But it's seeing yourself. That's a huge reality because I show up with a camera person and I put someone on camera and then I play it back, and they're always amazed at what they do with their hands and what they do with their mouth and sometimes how they might close their eyes or blink or whatever. But we can all very easily see what we look like because we have, you know, iPhones or droids or whatever. But that would be the first thing. And then have somebody else maybe who is very critical or can, you know, give you some kind of outside feeling of what you look like and let them give you some feedback.
You know, I mentioned that a lot of these companies have these media relations departments. That may be a bad thing, according to some, because of what you just talked about. People are afraid to tell their boss they don't look good on camera.
Oh, I love it. It's a very interesting my job because sometimes the CEO doesn't even know I'm coming in. A company, you know, the team will call me and say, you know, communications director and say, I can't tell my boss not to wear this, this, and this. Or I can't tell my boss that his hair looks terrible. Or I can't tell my boss that he sweats every time he gets in front of the investor groups. Or that he has this weird mannerism. Or he says this kind of strange thing. And it's interesting because I have to come in and sometimes these very, I mean, these are rock star people. I mean, they're CEOs, they're CFOs. They come in, they kind of like do this like I'm licking my wounds because they're hearing things that they've never heard because their team can't tell them this. But it's my job to come in, and I'm not trying to rip on them. I'm trying to make them even more amazing than they are currently. So I love that. It's really awkward at first, but I love the fact that I can make a difference in just an hour, usually with people. It's great. But yes, some people have no idea I'm coming.
Is this investment worth the money that would be paid for it?
Oh, absolutely, and more. Because, and imagine if we all had this when we were in our 20s. You know, somebody, I coach some people before they even go in for interviews, you know, to move up to a director position or some kind of management position, because smart people are realizing that we all need this. We all need somebody like a mirror to go, you know, wow, I do this weird thing with my legs when I interview, or I say this, and I probably should spin this a little more positively. So it's not just media training. It's just public speaking training. It could be interviewing. So, yes, it's worth the money and way more because we're all making mistakes out there that we could probably be making a lot more money, but we don't even know it.
We've been talking about CEOs and Fortune 500 companies, but you get together with small groups of people. You do these events regularly. When's your next one coming up, and how do people take part?
Thank you. My website is katherinejanicek.com, and I'm actually doing an online, very ridiculously rare opportunity. It's very, the price is very low, and I'm doing a class, and it's online, and you can sign up. It's April 26th. There's one during the day, and then that Thursday night. So it's right on my website. You can sign up right there.
Katherine, good to talk with you, and hopefully we can have you back here on the opening bell. Katherine Janicek, again, on Twitter, at Katherine Janicek, website katherinejanicek.com. Thanks for getting up this morning and being with us.
Thanks, Steve. Great show.
Thank you. It's 5:55. Before we leave this morning, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this is the final day on the air for Al Jazeera America. Why is that important?
This is the epicenter.
People are coming out to the streets to protest.
Chicago is called Chirac. More people down than in Afghanistan.
There's an air of tension right now.
Sign-off comes this evening following a three-hour live farewell designed to highlight the work of the network since a 2013 launch. That farewell begins at 5 p.m. Chicago time and will be repeated immediately after Al Jazeera goes dark. Local cable satellite operators haven't yet decided what they're going to do in their markets. I mention this because all of us in journalism are served well by multiple sources of news. This source will be missed by me, especially many of my friends work at Al Jazeera America, especially here in Chicago. They regularly paid 3 and 4 minutes to stories of importance here locally and around America. Al Jazeera America signing off for the final time today. That's the opening bell for this morning. Our producer is Mary Sandberg. Our engineer is Ben Cortez. Bennett Wakenight is our production help this morning. Thank you for listening to the opening bell. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock.